Welcome to Strategies for Success. I'm Bonnie Dubrow, your host for the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. Here you'll discover ways to make your journey a richer, more satisfying, and joyful experience. Together we'll travel life's ups and downs, and when you find yourself in uncharted territory, I'm here to be a guiding light. Today, my guest is Speed Ream. We'll talk about his name in just a moment. That is his real legal middle name. Speed is a software engineer. He also teaches software programming and yoga. He's been, well, I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself. Speed, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bonnie. It's great to be here.
Speed and I will be talking about yoga, shamanism, and how these two ancient practices can help us to live a more conscious, full, and joyful life in today's very fast-paced and challenging world. Speed, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into software, and then into shamanism and yoga, and what all of these things have to do with your life right now?
Well, I started software in 1970 at Tulane University, and back then there were not that many courses in software, so it was, a lot of us were doing things on our own at the University Computer Center. Yoga started maybe 10 years ago. I actually did a little bit of yoga in high school, but I didn't really become on the path of the yogi, like searching for a greater meaning in life in yoga, until about 10 years ago when I met Amrit Desai, Yogi Amrit Desai, who has his main teaching residence is in Florida, in Salt Springs, Florida. He's originally from India, the country of India, and he brings that tradition to the United States. He's one of the first people that brought the kind of like old-fashioned Indian tradition of yoga to the United States, to the Western world, in the late 60s and early 70s. So my tradition, my yoga tradition, is Amrit Yoga, following the way of Yogi Amrit Desai. And I use yoga to add excess energy to my system. I try not to try to make it as a healing art or to get something out of it that's intentional. I try to, the more I do it, the more I try to be non-intentional. Just do the practice. And in Amrit Yoga, there's such a tremendous focus on the philosophy of the yoga rather than just the postures. And the postures are very important, but the philosophy is way more important. And one way you can apply Amrit Yoga is to do the postures in a way that floods the system with energy. And the less I try to stop the energy or try to make it do something, like if my elbow hurts, I don't try to make the energy go fix my elbow. Just let the energy flood the system and do the posture, do the practice in a particular way. And I just liken it up to having a spare tank of gas. If I do my yoga every day, I'm adding gas to my system that I have in reserve anytime I might need it.
Thank you. That's an interesting approach to not intend for what the energy will do or what you're going to do with it, to simply do the practice for the discipline of the practice, knowing that the energy comes in when you do the posture. You said that the postures aren't so much what matters. It's more the philosophy, and I talk a lot about that it's the way you do the posture, that someone could do lotus position in a headstand and not really be doing yoga, or lift a finger, sit up straight, or take a breath and be doing yoga.
Well, that's a great point. And Amrit Desai says so often that people on the mat are usually practicing conflict rather than practicing yoga. And a great example is I walk into the room and let's say I want to look good. And let's say I want to impress the ladies. And so I'm sitting doing my postures, and I'm going, okay, I'm going to make this posture really look good. And if I'm doing it for somebody else, if I'm trying, even take a less extreme example, even if I'm just trying to make my teacher happy.
Right.
If I'm really straining in mountain pose to get my elbows close together, you know, that's not what Amrit is teaching at all. Because that strain, I'm practicing strain. I'm not practicing yoga. So that's exactly right. It's way more important. The context of what we're doing, what we are actually practicing, is way more important than what our body looks like when we're doing it.
You said something interesting, that we could be doing the yoga, the posture, to impress other people in the room or our teacher. I know that one thing I've heard Amrit saying when I've taught classes, I've said, be with your body today. Today you may go further or you may not go as far as you did yesterday, to avoid straining, to avoid the efforting, so that we can relax and let the flood of energy flow into us, and as you say, fill up the reserve tank. That to me is fundamental to the philosophy, the real richness of what yoga has to offer us today. We've been talking to Speed Rheem. Saying your name, Speed, why don't you tell everybody, I mentioned that it's your real legal middle name. Just take a moment and tell about how you got that.
It was my parents' fault. I want you to know that.
And it had nothing to do with drugs or you being a baby boomer in college in the 60s.
Well, I won't. How I got my name had nothing to do with drugs or college in the 60s and the 70s. My great-great-great-grandfather's name was James Speed. Speed was his last
name. And your family has a tradition of giving the children the middle name of the clan's names of your family ancestry.
Correct. So Kendall, Seton, Speed, these are all cousins of mine, and all my brothers and sisters and cousins, we all have middle names of each other.
Of the family clans.
Plans, exactly.
Okay, back to, just so that everybody understood, back to the topic for today. You've been talking about yoga. You also mentioned to me that you wanted to tie together yoga and shamanism. You've been studying shamanism for even longer than you've been studying yoga. What is shamanism, and how did you get into that?
Well, if you ask 40 different shaman what a shaman is, I'm sure you'll get 40 different answers. So my answer is this, that there is a resurgence in the Northern Hemisphere especially, but all over the world, of what we would call shamanic healing presence. And the simplest way for me to separate shamanism from perhaps allopathic medicine, which is the, you know, direct Western intervention of illness, almost every shamanic practice and many yogic practices assume a kind of magic is happening during the healing process. So we're not really striking at the heart of Western allopathic medicine. We're just saying that there may be another way of looking at healing, and all cultures have a concept that there's some kind of magic or mystical element that could possibly be happening. And some of our greatest physicians and people alive today accept that in their own presence, in their own heart, even though that's not their way of allopathic medicine. Many, many people that are very high up in our allopathic medicine world today accept at least the possibility that spiritual essence can have healing. So I think one of the things that's happening with the shamanic emergence right now, especially with the South American shamans, there's many, many South American shamans now coming to the United States after a large meeting in the Andes in 2005 in the summer. Or perhaps it was 2004, but in that time frame, a bunch of the Andean shaman got together and said, hey, It's time for us to start teaching some of these things we've been keeping secret for some say thousands of years. And so that has caused a resurgence, plus, there's the green movement. In the green movement in the United States, that is a resurgence of the concept of spirituality and how can we use our building materials in a better way? How can we all use our natural resources in a more responsible way?
Sustainability, green movement, ecology are all bringing us back to treating our home, this magnificent planet, as the precious treasure that it is. And you're saying that shamanism, like those practices, are rooted in the practices of the ancient ones, that shamans have been the American Indian shamans, the Central and South America. Are shamans just on this continent, these two continents, North and South America?
As far as we can tell, as far as I can tell, there's been a shamanic presence in every civilization, probably traceable almost 8,000 years. So Australia, Africa, you name it, any place there has been a civilization, there has been a concept of shamanism. So it is not North American. It's just that I'm familiar with what's happening in North and South America, and I'm not familiar with what's happening right now in, for example, Mongolia or China.
Okay.
Or Australia. So I'm just talking about what I run into recently.
So shamanism is another name for spiritual practices using the life force as a healing energy that yoga, I've not heard yoga and shamanism in the same conversation until talking with you, and yet the way that you describe the two of them, they do seem to weave together beautifully.
Well, there's a great book on shamanism by Dr. Horner called The Way of the Shaman, and he describes the Tibetan yogic monks as shamans, and he proves it, and this is, if you knew the book, he would be chuckling that I would use the word prove, because this is not the way of the shaman to prove anything to anybody else. But there are certain emblematic things happening with the Tibetan monks, which are Buddhist and yogic tradition. It's extremely shamanic. And someone studying the way of the shaman will see in them a tremendous, possibly secret shamanic presence. Maybe not secret in the sense they're trying to hide something, but maybe secret in the sense that this is not what they teach to the Western world first thing right off the bat. What I look at is using yoga to add internal energy and then using shamanship to express my external desire. And one of the primary purposes of a shaman is to dream into reality that which is impossible and does not exist right now. So some of the great South American shaman have expressed this desire, and I am in full agreement. Their desire is to reflower the planet Earth, to bring about the reflowering of the planet Earth.
What exactly do you mean? What are they meaning by reflowering of the planet?
Literally, human beings have to come back into balance with their natural essence. So for a human society to reflower would mean that the architecture students and the engineering students that are being graduated right now from our universities would be learning spiritualism as well as architecture. In other words, new kinds of cities that are living, the outside edges of the cities are actually living in harmony with the outside edges of the nature that's encroaching, where the two boundaries meet, would just be one example. So the reflowering is, can mankind make use of the tremendous potential of the mind and apply that tremendous potential toward a reconnection with nature's energy life force, which in many Western countries, we've lost a lot of that connection.
So, Speed, you're talking about yoga as a way to build energy in the body so that that energy can be in reserve. The attunement of my individual body so that I'm aware of and choosing to be in harmony with the earth that the shaman practices are designed to help us go out into the world and manifest that which isn't yet, and in fact may be considered by some as impossible.
Correct.
Well, it sounds like the perfect topic to be discussed in light of The Secret, the Law of Attraction, and so many of the things that are right now being discussed on shows as big as Oprah and Larry King Live. This is Bonnie Dubrow. I'm your host for Strategies for Success. Today I'm talking with Speed Rehm. He's a software engineer, a yoga student and teacher, a practitioner of shaman practices, bringing them all together, not only in his life and his world, but sharing them with me and with you. If you'd like to reach Speed, you can call him at 321-508-0124. And to email you, Speed, where would you like them to write?
That would be sream@post.com.
This is Bonnie Dubrow, your host for Strategies for Success, the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. You're listening to radioforwomen.us. That's radio, the number 4, women, WOMEN.us. You can find us on your computers. At this point, that's the only place that you can find us. If you'd like to reach me, you can email me at Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, at radioforwomen.us, or my phone number in Brevard County, 321-259-4404, toll-free, 800-511-9302, and we'll be right back.